From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Is David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint? I made it here, folks. Woke up to a dead truck battery. Truck wouldn't start. Luckily, I've got a wonderful girlfriend who got me here just mere moments ago, folks. Just mere moments. But we are live. Taking your phone calls, indicating the producer. He'll get your message to me. Send your message on the Montana Talks app. That's another great way to get me a message, to read it and react. Got a busy day today on the schedule. Super excited. Of course, we're going to have the Joker, John Jackson, joining us for the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to be breaking some news here during the 8 o'clock hour as well. Got Montana Secretary of State Christy Jacobson hopefully joining us for the 7 o'clock. But this 6 o'clock hour is just us. Some breaking news yesterday. Aaron Flint shared this. Donald Trump endorsing both Ryan Zinke, our Western District Congressman, and Troy Downing, the Western District Congressman. Donald Trump tweeted out, "Congressman Ryan Zinke is a fantastic rep for the great people of Montana's 1st District. A former Secretary of the Interior in my first administration, where he worked to advance America First agenda. Ryan continues to fight hard in Congress to keep our new, very secure border secure, stop migrant crime, ensure law and order, strengthen our incredible military veterans, cut taxes and regs, promote made in the USA, champion American energy dominance, and defend our always under siege Second Amendment." And isn't Trump right about that? Always under siege Second Amendment. "Ryan Zinke has my complete and total endorsement for re-election. He will not let you down." And then Trump also truthed out Congressman Troy Downing is doing a truly fantastic job representing the incredible people of Montana's 2nd Congressional District. "Troy bravely served our great country in the U.S. Air Force as a combat vet, and in Congress he's fighting tirelessly to support our farmers and ranchers, champion American energy dominance," all caps, "by helping to keep the price of gasoline, oil, and all forms of energy very low. Cheap!" Exclamation point, parens. "Help secure our now very secure border," all caps, "southern border, strengthen our military veterans, defend our always under siege Second Amendment, which has not been attacked, amended, or changed while I was president, and restore peace through strength. Troy Downing has my complete and total endorsement for re-election. He will never let you down." So good to see both of our congressmen here in Montana getting that endorsement from Donald Trump. And certainly no question that Donald Trump will be endorsing Daines and Sheehy when the time is appropriate. Big, huge day here. And, you know, you're going to want to stick around for this 8 o'clock hour. I was messaging with John Jackson last night. He's got a very interesting story to talk about. Some Montana folks in the national news type of thing. Obviously, there's this story of this Democrat out of Helena with the voicemail that got released. Got a lot of stuff to talk about with that commentary and that. But the 8 o'clock hour is going to be fantastic. The 7 o'clock hour is going to be fantastic. The 9 o'clock hour is going to be fantastic. And, of course, the 6 o'clock is maybe going to be the best, because that's just going to be your boy lecture fan monologuing all hour long, reading your messages on the app. And if you call in to Caden 406-294-0970. Plus, there's elections going on today.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudiness and some breaks of sunshine today, we'll see a few light showers possible early on yet in some parts of the area. Otherwise, high temperature readings from the mid-50s in Bozeman to the low 60s in the Billings vicinity. For tonight, with variably cloudy skies, overnight lows from around the upper 30s, and then we'll see partly sunny skies Wednesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
War Secretary Pete Hegseth is continuing his trip through Asia. During a recent stop in Vietnam, he met with that country's defense minister and highlighted how far the relationship between the two countries has come since the end of the Vietnam War in the mid-70s and the implementation of official diplomatic relations 30 years ago.
In 3 decades, the U.S. and Vietnam have gone from enemies to partners.
Hegseth explaining further,
"Our military relationship demonstrates our friendship and our cooperation."
while admitting that the legacies of the Vietnam War, both good and bad, cannot be ignored.
That remains the foundation of our defense relationship and is a top priority for this administration and the Department of War.
Hegseth also pledging,
we are committed to maintaining peace and prosperity in the Asia-Pacific region.
Kevin Uletsky, Fox News.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on this show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls, the chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
Join us again.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Donald Trump also sending out a post yesterday related to the commie Mom Donnie in New York City. Trump says, if communist candidate Zohran Mamdani wins the election for mayor of New York City, it's highly unlikely that I will be contributing federal funds other than the very minimum as required to my beloved first home because of the fact that as a communist, this once great city has zero chance of success or even survival. It can only get worse with the communist at the helm. I don't want to send as president good money after bad. It's my obligation to run the nation. It's my strong conviction that New York City will be a complete and total economic and social disaster should Mom Donnie win. His principles have been tested for over 1,000 years and never once have they been successful. I would much rather see a Democrat who has had a record of success win than a communist with no experience and a record of complete and total failure. He was nothing as an assemblyman, ranked at the bottom of the class, and as mayor of potentially, again, the greatest city in the world, he has no chance to bring it back to its former glory. We must also remember this. A vote for Curtis Sliwa, who looks much better without the beret, is a vote for Mamdani. Whether you personally like Andrew Cuomo or not, you really have no choice. You must vote for him and hope he does a fantastic job. He is capable of it. Mamdani is not. Obviously, Aaron Flint's been talking a lot about this Mamdani guy. It's interesting to me because not only is, you know, the New York Democrats nominated this just straight up out and out communist as their candidate for the mayor of New York City, but a lot of other Democrats all across the country are still standing behind him. And it's just mind-boggling. In fact, I watched a good chunk of Gavin Newsom on Sunday on Meet the Press. And boy, is that guy just the slimiest, scummiest type of politician you could ever imagine. You just get the ick just sort of watching him operate and seeing what he's doing. But hey, we did get a message from Tim in Savage. Tim from Savage says, you didn't ride your bike in? Good question, Tim and Savage. I wish, but you know what? It's pitch black dark out here. It's a little cold, and I am 5 or 6 miles from the studio. But you know, actually, now that you say it, maybe I could ride my bike in here sometime. Show Aaron. You know, it's actually funny. So yesterday, Jennifer Owen was talking about how the real difference amongst, I guess, some folks here in Billings in terms of biking paths is this whole debate about should we be focused on making like commuter bike paths to where people can use their bike to commute, or is it more of like a recreational situation? Of course, I told her I'm all about the recreational biking. I mean, biking to work and back, it's like, okay, so you show up at work sweaty, and then at the end of the day, you just want to get home and you've got to ride your bike 4 or 5 miles. That has never appealed to me, but apparently, you know, that's why the Democrats love bike paths is for commuters to try to get rid of vehicles because they don't like vehicles and gas-powered vehicles and all the CO2 coming out of the vehicles. And so I thought that was pretty interesting point from Jennifer Owen, and I'm all in favor of recreational biking. But using it for commuting, it's like, nah, I'd rather drive a truck. But, you know, going back to this whole Mamdani thing, what I find interesting about Trump's tweet here is, number one, he's talking about how why would we, as a federal government, sort of send money to New York City or support New York City if they elect a communist who is known to support policies that have failed every time they've been tried? And, you know, it's interesting because one of the places that those policies were tried was Argentina. And in Argentina, they had communism, socialism, whatever you want to call it, far-left policies. They blew out the spending. They had corruption. And they ended up causing hyperinflation and government debt and government default. And that's what you see every time you see these policies enacted. Now, of course, New York City, you know, doesn't have the ability to print money or anything like that. But they do have the ability to implement a lot of these other policies that have straight up failed. And when you talk about, you know, what Trump had done vis-a-vis Argentina before they had their midterm elections here at the end of October, he said the same thing. You know, yeah, we're willing to support Argentina. We're willing to be their ally. But why would we send them any kind of assistance or work with them or cooperate with them if they elected anybody other than Javier Milei and his party, La Libertad Avanza, which is Liberty Advances. Fantastic, fantastic name for a political party, by the way. Liberty Advances. You know, not a bad name for a political party. But the point is yeah, we'll support Argentina if you're going to be opposed to China, if you're going to support free market policies that have a chance of working. But we wouldn't do it if you're going to be cozying up to China, if you're going to be supporting these communist policies that have been known to fail, et cetera, et cetera. And that's one of the things I like so much about Argentina is it's exhibit A for what happens when you don't have conservative fiscal policies, when you don't try to balance the budget. And Donald Trump is right. These policies of Mamdani and all these Democrats, they failed every time they've been tried. There's no example in all of history, all of human history, there's no example of these far-left policies, socialist policies, communist policies. They've never worked. They failed every single time. And not just in the Soviet Union, not just in communist China, not just in other communist countries around the world, but places like Argentina, places like Bolivia. You know, Bolivia just recently elected a new president. I think it's President Paz or President Paz, or I'm not sure how to say it. But Bolivia has just moved more to the right in terms of wanting more conservative fiscal policies and things like that. And so you've got all of this evidence out there in history. And here we are in Montana, you know, 6 a.m. hour. And I'm just scratching my head wondering, how has nobody else studied the history of economics all around the world, all throughout human history? Why is nobody else sort of recognizing how obvious it is? How do we have Americans that would still vote for Mamdani or any of these other left-wingers? And it's happening here in Montana and all across the country.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Even up until the last hour, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries played it coy about endorsing Zohran Mamdani in the New York City mayor's race. He repeatedly said he would say something about endorsements before early voting in New York. In fact, Jeffries endorsed Mamdani one day before the early voting period started. But that didn't mean that reporters didn't try to get Jeffries to take a stand on Mamdani for months. As things inch closer to Election Day, a reporter asked Jeffries, "What more do you need to hear at this point?" Jeffries replied, quote, "I have not refused to endorse. I have refused to articulate my position, and I will momentarily at some point in advance of early voting." It would have been a bigger story had Jeffries not endorsed Mamdani. But it was obvious that Jeffries had questions for Mamdani and reservations about his views, as well as comments about globalizing the Intifada and leaning too far left for the Democratic Party overall. Republicans excoriated Jeffries for his endorsement, but they would try to connect Jeffries to Mamdani, whether he endorsed or not. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
History shows.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
And Tuesday morning, I'm Lane Nordblond.
One of the featured speakers at this year's Angus Convention in Kansas City over the weekend was Randy Block, CEO of Cattle Facts. I was able to sit down with him to discuss the forces shaping today's historic cattle market.
Think about where our industry has moved over the last 40 years. From 1980 to 1998, we went through a 50% loss in beef demand. 50% loss in beef demand, it was a train wreck. From 1998 to 2025, we've gone through a 40-year peak in demand. Why? It's quality. It's quality and consistency of the product that we produce. And if I could share with you what I see when I go through all of this data, daily, weekly, monthly, demand is really key. And if we continue to put the high-quality product in front of our consumers day in and day out that they can trust when they feed their families, we've got a very bright future in this industry.
Unforeseen additional gains were also seen in the market this year with a nearly 77% tariff on Brazilian beef imports and the closure of the southern border to live cattle imports from Mexico, adding another $25 to $30 per hundredweight. But at the end of the day, strong consumer demand will remain the driving force behind cattle and beef prices.
Had demand needle not moved where it is today, cattle would be, if we had the same demand that we had in 1998, cattle would be selling $1,000 lower than they are today. $1,000. That's a big number. So hopefully that gives everybody a perspective of what we're talking about from demand growth, and obviously that's what's driving profitability. We've had some of these other outside factors that have come in that have obviously juiced the market up some in here, but these things will settle out. I mean, we've had other times in history we've had these kind of outside events that will rock the boat. But eventually, those policy decisions will move back to a more normal baseline, and the markets won't be so volatile. And right now, that's been a big deal.
Now, if you have around 20 minutes, I would encourage you to watch or listen to my entire conversation with Cattle Facts' Randy Block. You can find that by visiting westernagnetwork.com.
For over 50 years, Green Mountain Angus Ranch and Rooney Angus have been committed to providing superior seed stock for the commercial rancher. Monday, November 10th, 220 bulls, including lots of heifer bulls and over 200 bred commercial heifers sell at Pays in Billings, Montana. Sale time is 1 o'clock, also broadcast on Frontier Livestock. It's an incredible time to be in the cow business, and Green Mountain Angus Ranch and Rooney Angus genetics are the real deal. Volume discounts, free delivery, plus that GMAR guarantee. For more information, visit greenmountainangus.com.
Chevy Trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to... Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious... With multiple engine options and impressive towing. Well, Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy Trucks are right there with you. See your Montana Chevy dealers.
The National Pork Producers Council has welcomed China's decision to suspend retaliatory tariffs on U.S. pork. Dwayne Statler, an Ohio producer and president of MPPC, called it a win for U.S. agriculture, praising the Trump administration for negotiating tariff relief. China had imposed a 57% retaliatory tariff on pork back in March, contributing to a 13% drop in exports during the year's first 7 months. With the suspension, tariffs will be reduced by 10%, allowing trade to return to a more normal market-driven level, the group says. I'm Lane Nordblond, Western Ag Network.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble. That's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. Send us a message on the Montana Talks app or call 406-294-0970 to talk to the producer and get your message here. We'll get it onto the airwaves. Big news this morning, sad news, Dick Cheney has passed away just last night, apparently at the age of, I think it was 82 is what I read. Very, very long life for Dick Cheney. And what's amazing is the fact that he's had a heart attack decades and decades ago. Apparently he had a heart transplant in 2012. So sad to see Dick Cheney passing away, but really a testament, I think, to the incredible American healthcare system, of course, built on the top of free market capitalism, et cetera, et cetera. Politico playbook this morning is getting all excited about election day, and they're talking about how they're going to be staying up late tonight watching these election returns. But here they've got this whole write-up about New York's mayoral race with Mamdani and Andrew Cuomo. Not one word about the extremism or the radicalism about Mamdani. And so, folks, you guys may think, well, how is it possible? And I was just saying this at the end of the last segment. Like, how is it possible that Americans could still support and vote for somebody like Mamdani when we know history? We have the data from history. We know what happens when those policies are put in place. It restricts people's freedom. It slows down economic growth. It causes inflation. It never works. The government is incompetent at providing goods and services. It's just shocking. Well, I think one answer is you've got publications like Political Playbook, like the New York Times. They never mention that this guy's an extremist. They never mention that his policies have been tried over and over and over again throughout all of human history, essentially, and it's failed every single time. Not one word about that. Instead, they say that Zohran Mamdani is fueled by upbeat charm, well-made Instagram videos, and a relentless focus on the cost of living. It's like, oh, an interest. How much you want to bet if Mamdani wins, his little effort to control cost of living is just going to destroy New York City even more than it is, or it'll just cause an increased cost of living. And of course, you know, it talks in here about how he basically wants to fund all of this by quote unquote attacks on the rich, which reminded me of. Boy, that just sounds like Obama. You know, that sounds like a mainstream Democrat. Yeah, tax the rich and then help all these other people. They don't mention in here that Zohran Mamdani's original plan was to just tax white neighborhoods. That's what he said. He said, we're going to raise all this money by taxing the white neighborhoods. And then when he was called on, he's like, oh, well, no, we're going to do it based on income. It just so happens that those neighborhoods are white. Really? Why'd you say you're going to tax white neighborhoods then? You know, Aaron Flint had tweeted out and was talking on the radio about some failures by the local media here in Montana. And I can't remember exactly. This was just last week. So there was some specific article that Aaron Flint had basically called out for being completely biased. And I had responded to one of his tweets and I said, hey, you know what? If there's one thing that we learned and understood from the results of this last election, it's that it remains a very, very important top priority for conservatives to get the word out to the American people and to prove how biased and just full of lies the mainstream media is. And Aaron retweeted that. And you get this thing where a lot of people on the right, you know, people that are very well informed, people that listen to talk radio, people that watch, you know, YouTube videos, people that are well aware that the mainstream media cannot be trusted. Those people will sometimes criticize conservative content creators for continuing to focus on the mainstream media and for continuing to call them out for all of their lies. And they sort of assume like, oh, everybody already knows that. Everybody already knows the mainstream media are a bunch of liars and to not trust them. The sad reality is that's unfortunately not quite true. There's still a lot of Americans that when they read the Billings Gazette, when they watch Q2, things like that, they actually don't know that those are propagandist liars. Same with Politico Playbook. There's a lot of folks out there that may read Politico, for example, or New York Times, or you name it, and they don't realize that it's actually mostly full of garbage and lies and propaganda, and it's completely biased. And so, like, for example, me just spending a little bit of time here this morning calling out the fact that Politico has this huge write-up on the New York mayor race, and not a single mention of Mamdani's extremist policies, not a single mention of the horrible things he said, just completely biased, making him out to be sort of like a mainstream Democrat when he's just not. Although, you know, when you've got Gavin Newsom and everybody else on the Democrat Party actually supporting this guy, you know, maybe he is mainstream, but he's a lot more extreme than just wanting to tax the rich. And it's like, you know, New York City, if you want to destroy New York City, why don't you just go ahead and implement these taxes on the rich? And it's again, that's been tried. There's countries in Europe that put in place taxes on the rich. Guess what? They got rid of them very quickly and shortly thereafter. Because you know what's not good for an economy? Is when all of the successful people and the people that have money and income, when they all leave your city, that's really not great for your city. When they all leave your country, it's really not great for your country. You know, not a word about that in Politico. The other big race here nationwide is this Virginia governor's race. Winsome Earl Spears, the state's lieutenant governor, fantastic candidate. She's going up against Abigail Spanberger, who's allegedly a more of a moderate Democrat. But, you know, what can you, that comes from Politico, so take that with a grain of salt, too.
Well, every dollar counts.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to.
First, drown it with a bucket of water, then stir it with a shovel.
Wow, you sound just like him.
Then he said.
If it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got a couple of messages here. Thanks for sending these in, folks. We got Reynolds in Whitefish. Reynolds says, David, a large part of the reason that blue state voters support socialism, woke newspeak, etc., especially a problem amongst immigrants who were invited to the USA, Obama for free stuff, as opposed to freedom-seeking patriots who immigrate for religious freedom and to build wealth and create things, is because blue schools have canceled Western civilization, math and logic, and replaced them with the trans agenda and the woke 1619 project. Anything described as inclusive or SEL, social-emotional learning, is a euphemism for woke indoctrination. Absolutely, Reynolds. Well said. The school systems, absolutely no question, is a big part of this. I guess just to play a little bit of devil's advocate, though, with you, Reynolds, I think there's some... I guess one thing I don't like about that is sort of the external blame that's placed there. And it's like, you know, every time there's an election loss for the Republicans and the conservatives, I always sort of ask myself, you know, did I do enough? Did I do everything that I could that I could have? Did I donate as much money as I could have to Republican candidates and causes and groups? You know, did I spend as much time talking to friends and family, you know, as I should have? You know, things like that. And so when you've got a country like the United States where it's just it's really hard to grasp this, but you've got a country like Argentina that has a freedom-loving, freedom-advances, libertarian president, and they've got a balanced budget and a fiscal surplus. And at the same time here in the U.S., we've got a government shutdown with a federal government that's running trillion-dollar-plus deficits every year, printing off trillions in new dollars every year, causing inflation, hurting the poorest of the poor, et cetera, et cetera. And then you've got a city like New York City, you know, once the financial capital of the world, one of the free market capitals of the world, you know, about to elect a full-blown communist. And it's just everything's backwards. Everything's sort of backwards. But I don't know if you can just sort of like push that all off on, oh, it's just, you know, it's the schools, 100% the school's fault. I mean, and I know you're not saying it's 100%. You're saying probably that's, you know, one of the big reasons. But there obviously is some responsibility on the part of the parents that sent those kids to those school, the people that sent their kids to universities to become teachers and didn't spend enough time with them and focus enough on teaching them the truth. You know, so I think there's a lot of blame to go around. But, you know, what I like about your message, Reynolds, is it's number one, it's true. The schools are definitely a big problem in causing a lot of this. But it sort of makes me think about Montana and the fact that we really are having a very difficult time here in Montana getting school choice. And part of this, the sort of, there's a constitutional provision in Montana that requires sort of public schooling, and there's all these leftists that'll sue you if you try to allow people to, instead of going to a public school, to actually choose their school. And I get that being an issue, but we really haven't seen the legislature, you know, take that ball all the way across the finish line and actually litigate that case or actually implement, you know. The way I view it is, like, if you have a school, a true school choice program where any student, any child in Montana can still go to the public school if they want to. It just so happens that if you don't want to go to the public school, you know, you should be able to choose a different school, whether it's a private school or different public school for that matter, a charter school, you name it. That to me doesn't seem to violate a provision that the state provide free public schooling for all. Because it's still providing free public schooling for all. It just so happens that they're also allowing people to choose to go to a different school and that the money should follow the student. So that's an issue I think we ought to take all the way and litigate it all the way. And if we need to, we can amend the Constitution. But I don't think you need to amend the Constitution to have true school choice. And I've never done the deep research on this, but I do know that we've got some school choice programs here in Montana that have been doing a pretty good job. We've got these new charter schools. We've got the scholarship tax credit. But I think there's just a lot more to do on that issue. You know, Reynolds, very good point out of Whitefish about the importance of schools. Menace from Ennis writes in, thank you for the message, Menace from Ennis. He says, who's going to buy all that Starbucks coffee if the rich leave? Great question. Great question. But, you know, here's the answer. People, you know, the quote-unquote American poor will, or the immigrant poor here in the United States. And, you know, it's like, I one of the reasons I encourage folks to do international travel is so that you can actually see what the rest of the world lives like and what poverty looks like, because it's absolutely absurd. By the way, I just looked out the window. What a sunrise we've got going over here in Billings. What a beautiful sunrise. Thank the Lord Jesus for the creation that we get to witness right now looking at that. But, you know, there's a lot that can be said about how well off everybody in the United States is, and that includes low-income people. You know, go travel around the world a little bit and then you'll start to view. And the point being, you know, is that a lot of the quote unquote low income in the United States, they'll go to Starbucks. You know, I think the Starbucks in New York City will be just fine if commie mom Donnie wins and implements his little tax and scares off all the successful people. Starbucks will be fine. Hey, here's a story I wanted to get to. Actually put out by a Montana publication, hearing aids linked to lower dementia risk. A recent study published by the Journal of the American Medical Association indicates a significant link between hearing aids and reduced cognitive decline in individuals under 70 with hearing loss. Patients who use hearing aids drastically lower their risk of developing dementia compared to those who do not use them. A licensed hearing aid dispenser explained that the impact of hearing aids, saying what they're doing is they're stimulating the nerve that goes to the brain. An untreated brain can start to atrophy or die off as much as a cubic centimeter per year when it's not being stimulated. Apparently in Montana, this is particularly important for Montanans, because a lot of Montanans have loud work environments such as ranching and construction. Age, lifestyle, and genetics also impact hearing loss. You're 2 to 5 times more likely to have memory loss, and dementia and Alzheimer's can be related to hearing loss. And so to me, this is kind of like a feel-good story, because you know, dementia is a really horrible disease and it impacts a lot of people. And to see something like that where it's like, okay, just having hearing aids, you know, can really, really lower your risk of dementia is, I think that's hopeful. Good news for folks out there. It dovetails with a lot of other stories you see about that issue in terms of, you know, doing brain exercises, doing, you know, crossword puzzles, you know, keeping your brain exercised. All of that stuff is helpful in terms of reducing the risk of Alzheimer's. Okay, here's another story. This one I actually wanted to get to yesterday because It's another sort of classic thing. We've been talking about this for a long time. You know, yesterday during the 9 o'clock hour, I spent a good chunk of the 9 o'clock hour talking about global warming and the fact that Bill Gates has basically, they're getting ready for this COP30 conference or whatever they call it. They've got these weird names for these climate conferences. I just can't take my eyes off the sunset over here, or the sunrise over here. It's just incredible. If you're in Billings, I'd step outside and take a look at the sun or the sky right now. But, you know, I spent so much time on that because it's still such an important issue. We're still seeing the Democrats and the leftists use global warming as a justification to try to implement their socialist and communist types of policies. Well, here's another one that we've been talking about for a long time. This is also out of the Wall Street Journal. Evidence backs the transgender social contagion hypothesis. The share of young people claiming another gender identity exploded. Now, new surveys show it's receding. Now, go back a year, go back 2 years, and you'd have folks like me and Aaron Flint and stuff talking constantly about how this is a social contagion. What is happening with our young, with our youth in this country, with our kids in this country, and we were seeing the data a year ago or 2 years ago about this huge, huge spike in the number of children identifying as a different gender or LGBTQ, et cetera, et cetera. And we all said, oh, this is obviously a social contagion. And of course, the Democrats and the media said, no, 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 you know, they're born this way, this is biological, et cetera, et cetera. Well, if that's the case, then why are the numbers going way down? Which is a good news, which is a feel-good, you know, story in and of itself. The fact that not as many kids are identifying with another gender identity is just great news in and of itself. The fact that it proves that we've been right about this thing the whole time is just a cherry on top. So in 2020, the author here, Colin Wright, became the target of an online mob for tweeting about transgender identity. He'd shared a link to an article from The Guardian with a quote that said, quote, Sweden's Board of Health and Welfare confirmed a 1,500% rise in one decade in gender dysphoria diagnoses among 13 to 17-year-olds born as girls. And he had said social contagion. And remember, back then, back in 2020, you could get canceled for that. You'd lose your job for that. But again, here we go. 4 or 5 years later, what used to be, it's the same with the global warming story yesterday. What used to be a conspiracy theory is now true.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I want to hear from you. Maybe even young people in New York City and in New Jersey and Virginia, wherever you happen to be. I mean, these are interesting elections to me. Look, off year, it should be a Republican's election to lose. The party in power historically loses the elections. But Jack Cittarelli, I mean, four polls have it, a one-point race. That means, by definition, and I've done this now for decades, that is a turnout election. All your friends, your family, loved ones, talk to your neighbors, talk to your fellow employees, and get them to vote. Turnout will be critical, and you can shock the world.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
There's a reason I'm so proud of our partnership with Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, because they don't just talk the talk, they walk the walk when it comes to supporting our vets. It's a veteran-owned company. This month, Pure Talk is choosing to support Canines for Warriors. Now, this is an incredible organization that rescues and trains dogs, pairs them with veterans that are struggling, for example, with PTSD. Canines for Warriors gives these heroes a purpose. It gives them companionship and healing. That's exactly why Pure Talk, a veteran-led company, supports them. Now, choose a wireless company that shares your values. Remember, you're going to get unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, $25 a month. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You get the exact same service as the big carriers, same cell tower, same 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and make the switch. #250, keyword save now, switch today to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudiness and some breaks of sunshine today, we'll see a few light showers possible early on yet in some parts of the area. Otherwise, high temperature readings from the mid-50s in Bozeman to the low 60s in the Billings vicinity. For tonight, with variably cloudy skies, overnight lows from around the upper 30s, and then we'll see partly sunny skies Wednesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. I tell you what, we get some great guests on this show. We have some great sidekicks that join us on this show. And we've got friends inside the Trump administration and on Capitol Hill that will join us on this show. But I'll tell you what, the best part of Montana Talks, your phone calls. The chance to get to hear from people all across Montana and for you to be heard all across Montana. Keep your phone calls coming with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard across the state.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here. We're talking about this piece. It was in the Wall Street Journal just the other day. There's this new basically survey out talking about the number of young people claiming another gender identity. As folks may recall, a lot of conservatives were suggesting that social factors were causing and contributing to a large spike in transgender identification amongst the youth in this country. And so now you got recent data showing a little bit of proof for that theory. An analysis of campus surveys by Eric Kaufman of the University of Buckingham and the Center for Heterodox Social Science found that the share of college students identifying as transgender fell 50% between 2023 and 2025. So that's actual college students. The share of them identifying as transgender falling 50% in 2 years. Psychologist Gene Twenge's analysis of the annual cooperative election study administered by YouGov found that transgender identification among 18 to 22-year-olds declined by also nearly 50% between 2022 and 2024. And this psychologist says, it looks like the peak of trans identification is in the past. There's a new report from the Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine that seems to tell a little bit of a different story. Drawing on data from the larger National College Health Assessment, the report found that transgender and non-binary identification among U.S. college students is still at a record high, though it may be reaching a plateau. And so there's this whole article about this new data and the whole social contagion theory and all of that by Colin Wright here in the Wall Street Journal. Can't sort of recommend this article enough. But, you know, I find it interesting because it's very similar to what we saw yesterday on the show here during the 9 o'clock hour about Bill Gates. And Bill Gates completely changing his tune on man-made global warming and say, hey, it's not a catastrophe now. It's actually not even the biggest concern for the worldwide poor. And now even Bill Gates is saying the things that me and Aaron Flint have been saying for years, which is, hey, maybe instead of trying to prevent, you know, countries in Africa and Asia and South America, and trying to prevent them from building fossil fuel power plants, maybe you should just encourage them to build fossil fuel power plants, because we've always known that the data shows that the richer a country becomes, the more developed a country becomes, the better they take care of their environment. I mean, look at where the environment is being destroyed around the world. It's mostly in Africa and Asia. And a lot of that's due to they don't have the money and the economic development to take care of their environment the way we do here in the United States. And it's basic stuff, you know, collecting garbage collection, having emission controls. All of that stuff takes money. It costs money. I mean, look at a lot of places around the world and their water's undrinkable. You've got trash sort of strewn everywhere. Now, a place like Argentina that's run by a libertarian anarcho-capitalist, Javier Milei, that's actually a very clean country in terms of garbage and the air and the water. But I think when you look at a place like South America, it's a little bit different than looking at places like Asia and Africa just based on the number of people that have been there and how long they've been there, et cetera, et cetera. But the data's undisputed. The richer a country becomes, the better they take care of their environment. And so it's always been this sort of weird thing that the Democrats didn't want these countries to economically develop. Well, now Bill Gates is saying that. And so it feels like, to me, not only on the global warming issue, but also on the transgender issue and a whole host of other issues, that the pendulum is swinging in favor of the conservatives. That's all good news. That's all great news. Special guests here during the 7 o'clock hour, hoping to have Secretary of State Christy Jacobson on. I've got a bunch of questions for her. If you've got any, call in 406-294-0970. Convey it to the producer. Send us a message on the Montana Talks app, and we'll get it to Montana Secretary of State joining us during the 7 o'clock hour. David Noble in for Aaron Flint. We'll be right back.
From the
you got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.